I want us to open our Bibles in 1 Kings and the chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we commence reading at the verse number 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And with the Word of God open before us, let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Ask the Lord to open our hearts and to just take of His Word and write it upon our hearts today, even as we seek His face and gather around His book. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thine infallible Word. We thank Thee for Thy Word that's forever settled in heaven. And today we rejoice that though heaven and earth may pass away, Thy Word shall never, ever pass away. With that confidence, with that sweet assurance today, that we have a great book. It's the Word of Thee, the living God. Help us to read it. Help us to study it. Meditate upon it this morning. And, O God, search our hearts out and take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I pray in Jesus' precious name and for Thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. That is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. People answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood. Put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves. Dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods. But put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called in the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it a third time. And they did it the third time. The water fell or ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day, as we were finishing our study of this passage of the Word of God, we emphasized the words in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Then the fire of the Lord fell. You know, little did Israel know that day that they were on the verge of a miracle. That the fire of God was going to fall. God was going to change things. That God was going to intervene in the hearts of his people. That the people would cry out, the Lord, his God. But before the fire of the Lord fell, and before the blessing of the rain came, you'll notice that certain things had to happen. There is no easy way to blessing. And friend, these things have got to be in order before the fire of God will fall upon us. The blessing of God, the power of God. The fire of God was the power of God. And surely we need the power of God today. And there are many of God's people, and we have to confess today, we lack the power that we ought to have, but there's power available. The fire of God is available this morning. The fire of God can fall upon the people of God in this house today and burn up all the dross and all the things that's not of God. Yes, we want the fire of God to fall. We want God to come in our midst and God's blessing to be in our midst. Just as these people long for water, they long for the abundance of rain. Yes, it says, there is a sound of abundance of rain. But before the rain could come, the fire of God had to fall. And friend, before the fire fell, there were things that had to happen amongst the people of God there upon that Mount Carmel. And I want us to notice, as we finished last Lord's Day, we noticed, it told us there in verse number 30, it says this. And Elijah said, and I noticed a wee interesting thing this morning as I was passing in verse 29 reading it. And I must confess, it didn't stick out the last time I read it, or many times I've read it. Verse number 29 says, it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, then it says this, nor any to answer. There was none to answer. There were no false gods. Baal wasn't a god. It says, nor any to answer. Listen, there was nobody there to answer them. Then it says, and Elijah said unto verse 30, unto all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And the first thing is this here was this. The altar of communion with God had been broken. It had been broken down. They were out of fellowship with God. They were playing around. They were fooling around. The altar had been desecrated. The altar had been put out of use. The altar of God had been forsaken. The altars of Baal had been put up. And they were bowing down before the altars of Baal, but the altar of God had been forsaken. And before they could put anything upon the altar, the first thing was this. The altar had to be raised again. It says this. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And friend, let me tell you, the fire of God will only fall when God has his rightful place in the hearts of his people. Are you in communion with God today? Has God his rightful place? Is the altar of fellowship there raised up? Do you spend time in the presence of God? You see, the devil will destroy. The false religions destroy. But thank God, God's in the business of repairing. God's in the business of restoring. God's in the business of healing broken things. And there are many of God's people, friend, and that place of communion has been broken. That fellowship of God has been broken. The Word of God says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship the one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. If we walk in the light, there's the qualification. There's the condition. In other words, if you're walking in the light of God's Word, if you're walking in obedience to the Word of God, friend, if you're obeying God, fulfilling what God says in His precious Word, in the place of communion with God, but alas, it was broken down, they were out of fellowship. But the very first thing is this. Couldn't take another step until the altar was repaired. And friend, you and I this morning, we can't take another step. We can talk plenty. And we can boast plenty. But until the altar of God is repaired, and the altar of fellowship is repaired with God and with our fellow believers, until the altar is repaired, God will never be able to send the fire. And when the fire hadn't been sent, then, friend, God couldn't send the rain. The fire had to come first, the rain afterwards. So what's stopping the blessing? Let's be honest. What's stopping the blessing? Because the altar of fellowship and communion has been broken down. That's the truth. And friend, many of you know it. And I know it. But far more, God knows it. And it grieves the heart of God. Now notice after the communion, friend, the altar was raised. Second thing was this construction. Because as he saw, it says in verse number 31, and Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Now what was the 12 stones for? What was he doing? Then when you read earlier in the passage of God's word, you will find us this. The 12 tribes of Israel had been broken. There were the 10 northern tribes. There were the two other tribes. Listen, there was what was known as Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and then there was Judah. And the family of Jacob, or the family of Israel, had been broken. And the 12 stones, notice he didn't take 10. He was in Mount Carmel, but he didn't take 10 stones. He took 12 stones. Why? Because under God, my friend, his people are united. Under God, his people are united. And the 12 tribes, that the 12 stones, was the 12 tribes of Israel, and spake of unity. And it was a rebuke to the division of the nation. But why was there a division of the nation? Because of sin, because of idolatry. Because of divided loyalty. But if the altar of God was going to be raised, it wasn't 10 stones. If God was going to send the fire, if God was going to send the blessing, it wasn't 10 stones. It wasn't 2, it was 12. A united nation under God. A united people under God. Then God commands the blessing. That's what it says. When God's people dwell together in unity, God commands the blessing. 12 stones. According to the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel. That was the name that God gave him after God broke him. God says, you're not called Jacob anymore. You're called Israel. And he went back to the time when God gave his covenant unto Israel. Israel shall by the name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Now let me tell you something. Where did he get the stones? He got them on the mountain. He didn't look for polished stones. Because in actual fact, he couldn't look for polished stones. Because you know why? Because God said when you're raising an altar, it's not polished stones. You take the rough stones. Let me show you. Turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 22. Or chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And look at verse number 25. Or verse 24. And the altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and the peace offerings, thy sheep and the oxen. In all the place where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stones. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. See, this is not a man. This rough stone was of God. It was given of God. And to raise up the altar, he was not to take the quarried stones. He was not to take the polished stones. He was to use the rough, unhewn stones that lay on the mountainside in accordance to God's word. That, of course, should encourage every one of us. God uses ordinary instruments. God can use you. You needn't be polished. You mightn't have many tools as far as man's upon you. But let me tell you, friend, if you offer yourself to God, God can use you. And God will. God use you. And God can use any vessel. No matter how uncultured, God can use any vessel but a dirty one. We need to be holy, set apart for God. And notice what it says there. In verse number 32, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. This was all of God. By God's authority. By God's authority. And friends, we're not to be gathered here in God's house to glorify man, any man, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's a basic rule to guide our actions. And it's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by it. Do it in the name of the Lord. Do it to the glory of God. That man may not be seen. So we have the communion. We have the construction. Now notice the content here. Because it's important. He's moving along. He's got the altar set up. And then it says in verse 32, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. That's on the altar. And he cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and he filled the trench also with water. So there's a lot of action here. What was the content of this? Well, let's look at it. First of all, it says this. Verse 33, he put the wood in order. Now that's an important thing too. Because let me tell you, my friend, before God can pour out his blessing upon you or me, We have got to put our lives in order in accordance to His Word. We must put it in order. We read last Thursday night in the prayer meeting, in the book of James, in chapter 1, it says this, verse 26, 27. Remember what we talked about, those in the prayer meeting? We talked about false or vain religion and pure religion. And in James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain, it's empty, it's useless, it's futile, it's nothing. Empty religion. And then it says in verse 27, pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. That's real Christianity. That's living Christ. Setting things in order in our lives. Sin brings disorder and confusion. False religion adds to the problem. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, everything must be done decently and in order. In other words, he says, he put the wood in order. He just didn't take the wood and throw it upon the altar and say, there's wood for the altar. You see him lift the wood for it. And he carefully puts the wood piece by piece. Under place. Decently. Carefully. Not haphazardly. Scattering wood. Not carelessly. Not hurriedly. But carefully. He puts the wood in order. Before he could put it back. And I ask my heart, and I'm asking your heart this morning, listen, is the wood in order in your life this morning? Is the wood in order? Has it been placed in order before God, friend? Carefully. Before you came to God's house this morning, was the wood of your heart, friend, was it placed in order? To come for a blessing? Or did you just come to say it was a church this morning and I can have a doze here? Or is the wood in order? Now notice after that it says, then he cut the bullock in pieces and he laid him on the wood. He cuts the bullock in pieces. He lays the pieces of the bullock carefully, piece by piece. Listen, he didn't say, here's the bullock, and he slaps it onto the wood. No, friend, no, listen. It says he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him or them on the wood. Piece by piece, he put and placed the bullock on the altar. Now notice it was a bullock. Why a bullock? Well, the answer is very simple, friend. Because in the sacrifices, the bullock was a sin offering. And what was the problem here? What was the problem in the nation? What was the problem that brought the drought? It was sin. And therefore, when they were bringing the bullock, and then they were cutting the bullock and putting the bullock upon the altar, they were acknowledging their sinfulness, the sinfulness of Israel, and they needed the mercy of God. But before God could do it, the blood had to be shed. The blood had to be shed. And the bullock had to be cut up piece by piece. Notice it says, cut the bullock in pieces. Sin was the problem. And before there was to be the remission of sin, the blood had to be shed. My friend, let me tell you, before the blessing can be poured out, we have got to get to the blood. We've got to get afresh to the precious blood. Take me back, Lord, to Calvary. Let me tell you, my friend, that's where we should be staying day after day, at the cross. You and I need to glory in the cross and the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every piece was put in place. Listen. If we are to be well-pleasing to God and usable, then let me tell you, we must place ourselves on the altar. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to present our bodies to the Lord, definitely, systematically giving Him our individual members, piece by piece. We sang a wee hymn this morning. Did you think of the words that we were singing, friend? Listen, take my life, take my hands, take my voice, take my silver, take my intellect, take my will, take my heart, take my love, take my feet, take myself, Lord. You sang it a moment ago. You know what it was, friend? You were taking yourself piece by piece. Little bit by little bit, and you are putting it upon the altar for God. That's what you were singing. Our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our lips, our bodies. Bit by bit, my friend. Listen, it's not a matter of lifting and saying, Lord, just take me. Bit by bit. Peace. Peace. And I asked you honestly, and I'm asking my heart today, listen, how many members have we presented and yielded fully to the Lord and let the Lord use them as His instruments of righteousness? Have you given all? Bit by bit, friend, have you put it on the altar for God? Because God requires piece by piece, a voluntarily, wholehearted, decisive, complete dedication of ourselves unto the Lord. Or maybe you're saying this morning, if I'm honest, I've given the most, but there's a part of my life I want for myself. Are you holding back from God? Yet you say you want the blessing. Friend, there's a serious passage in God's Word. It's Acts chapter 5. And often we have read the Scriptures and perhaps we say, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be thought as they were just so going through with God that they were going to give God everything. But it says in verse number 2, they kept back part of the price when they sold their possession, his wife also being privy to it, and they brought certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, what is not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing his word, fell down, and he gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard them. And the young men arose, wound them up, and carried them out, and they buried them. Why? He says, God, I've given you everything. And he wanted men to think he was the big person. I've given God everything. But he kept back part of the price. Now, friend, let me tell you, he could have kept back part of the price, but he pretended he'd given everything. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 9, then Peter said unto her, that's unto Sapphira, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon all the church. And maybe it's not money this morning that you're holding back from God. But what part of you are you holding back? Bit by bit, piece by piece, friend. God was requiring it all. And there's another wee verse just before we move on. Psalm 118. And friend, listen. This is what you need to pray. You need to pray once you do that. If you're putting yourself on the altar for God, then when you do that, Psalm 118, verse 27, God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Mark this. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Lord, I've dedicated myself to you, Lord. But having made that dedication and having placed myself on the altar, bind me with the cords, lest I try and take it back off again. Bind it with cords, Lord. Don't let any part be taken back off. Lord, I want to go through with you. My, we sing, I'm going through, Lord. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the road of the Lord's despised few. I'm going through, Lord. Boy, the psalmist knew just how easy it was that after putting it in the altar, then take it back off. He says, God, bind the sacrifice with cords. Don't let me get anything off again. Let me be sold out to thee. And then there was the water. You see, Baal worship was known for its deceit. And why did he put the 12? Notice it was 12 barrels of water. Well, you see, he knew that God was going to vindicate himself. He was going to make it as hard as possible so that people would have to know this was of God. This is not of Elijah. This is of God. So he drenched the altar and the wood, and the water ran down there, and he had a trench there around it to catch the water so it wouldn't just simply disappear. And he put 4 barrels on. Then he said, listen, take 4 barrels more, do it a second time, and then do it a third time. 12 barrels, representing the 12 tribes again. And then he addressed God, because he knew God would not fail. God would not fail. He drenched the sacrifice because he had absolute confidence no matter what, the fire of God would fall and the God would glorify his name. And the people would cry out, the Lord, he is God. Do you know what some person asked me when they read that passage? He said, preacher, I read that story with you last Sunday, and I noticed they had 12 barrels of water, but she wasn't the place dying for thirst. Where did he get the water from? The country was dry. It was barren. Where did he get the water? Well, let me tell you, those that have been in Jerusalem or in Israel know exactly where he got the water. This mountain, what was down at the bottom of it? The sea. This was seawater. It was closer by. And they went down to the sea and they climbed up to the top there of Mount Carmel and they drenched it with water. Let me tell you, God was doing this and Elijah was doing this for the glory of God. And he saturated the altar. Because when the fire falls, this would prove this is supernatural fire. This is supernatural. Man's hand couldn't do this. This had to be the work of God. And I love the wee words it says there in verse number 36. Let it be known to the end of it, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He wasn't trying to make himself important. He says, God, I'm doing it because you've told me to do it. I spoke to the young people Saturday night a week ago. And we're reading that passage of God's word. You remember Jesus Christ? There were so many crowded around the Lord Jesus. He was there at Galilee's shore, and there were so many, they were nearly pushing him into the sea. And there was a boat of Simon Peter's there, and he says, Simon, would you lunch? Would you go out a wee bit from land here? And the Lord Jesus took that boat and he turned it into a pulpit and he preached. And then after that he said to Simon, he says, Simon, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your net. And Peter says, Lord, you know, we're tired. Do you know, Lord, we've been fishing all night. And we're just back in here. And we've been washing the nets, put them away. And Lord, we caught nothing. This is what he said. Nevertheless, at thy word, I left down the net.
Lord, I don't understand it. It's not the right time. It's not the right place. Lord, I'm an experienced fisherman. I've been fishing and my brethren have been fishing all night and we've caught absolutely nothing.
Jesus says, launch out into the deep and you'll find a great raft. He says, Lord, we have failed all night, but nevertheless at thy word. And that's exactly what Elijah was doing, Ben. I have done all these things at thy word. God was in this. And that's what we need, friend. And then very quickly notice the cry, verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Notice when we wait to, it says, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And that's significant too. Because you see, he was acknowledging, he was in fellowship with the worshippers at Jerusalem. Israel was divided. Jerusalem was there in Judah. And Judah had nothing to do, only they were fighting with Israel. Israel was fighting with Judah, rather. But it was the time of the evening sacrifice in communion with the worshippers of Jerusalem, just as God's children ought to recognize and rejoice in the privilege of having fellowship, communion with fellow believers in the Lord's house. The evening sacrifice was offered every day in the temple of Jerusalem, 3 hours before sunset, pointing forward to the great sacrifice that Christ made for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. We read this morning, and it's interesting. What was Elijah interested in? We read in Luke chapter 9. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what did Elijah and Moses, the two Old Testament men, what did they talk about on the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, how are you getting on with your disciples, Lord? How's it going? Well, then, note that, listen. They talked about Christ's death on the cross. Isn't that interesting? That's all they wanted to talk about. That was the center of their conversation. It was the sacrificial death of Christ upon the cross. And they looked forward to Calvary. And we look back to Calvary. And thank God Calvary's the center of it all. Elijah was interested in the cross. And that day at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifices, they were looking forward. And Elijah, as he was standing on Mount Carmel, he was looking forward to the day of that great sacrifice of the cross of Christ. And Elijah says, the Bible says, and Elijah at that time, he came near. The prophet came near, verse 36. Oh, he knew the fire was going to fall, but he knew that God wasn't going to hurt him with a fire. He wasn't afraid. See his composure. Now, there's no antics like the prophets of Baal. He wasn't dancing up around and round about. He wasn't feverishly cutting himself with knives and with lancets. No, friend, notice the composure of the man of God. You see, everything ought to be done decently in order. There was no confusion here. He just supplicates before the Lord. And how does he speak to God, friend? He addresses him as the covenant God of Israel. He says, Lord God of Abram, Isaac, and Israel. You're the covenant God. And notice, friend, his prayer, it was urgent. His prayer was important. But his prayer was brief. His prayer was brief. He acknowledged that God had entered into the covenant relationship with Abraham, and he renewed it with Isaac, and he renewed it with Israel. And so he petitions God. What was his petition about? That they might call, they might say, the Lord, he is God. All he was interested in was the glory of God. It's all he cared for. He didn't care, my friend, what they thought of him. But he did care about the glory of God. It was not himself that he cared about. He was stirred to the depths of his being that Jehovah God was honored. And friend, let me tell you, you think of the ministry of Christ on the earth. Very quickly, go to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we'll give these quickly to you. John chapter 8, and the verse number 49. And Jesus answered, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Yes, friend, he honored the Lord. That's all he cared about, was honoring his Father. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 28. What does he say there? Father, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. John chapter 17, look at verse 4. In the high priestly prayer of Christ, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, or known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. What was the Savior about, friend? His Father's business. That's all he cared for. And here Elijah, he takes the place of the servant. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. That's what he wanted. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. The time's away, friend. But notice, he hasn't prayed for rain yet. No mention of the rain. He doesn't pray for rain. Do you know why? Because he realizes the rain can't come until the fire falls before the judgment can be removed. Friend, let me tell you, as I close this morning, before the fire falls, piece by piece, everything in your heart and mind has got to be put in place. Or we'll miss the blessing. We'll be the hindrance. Ask, where's the hindrance? We become the hindrance, friend. Isaiah chapter 59. In verse 2, it says this. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Jeremiah chapter 5. And the verse number 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity, if I harbor iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. Elijah could pray. You know why? Because his heart was in tune with God. Everything was placed in order. Friend, God had to send the fire. For God had to honor his word. We sang this morning, "Search me, O God." Friend, before God this morning, in your heart and mine, will you let the searchlight of God just shine into our hearts and ask ourselves this question: is my heart really right with God and with God's people? Now, God knows the answer, and so do you, me. Then the fire fell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. Thou art speaking to all of our hearts. Oh, God forbid that we will be a hindrance to the blessing of the Lord falling upon this hill. Thou knowest, Lord, we'd be far better called home than to be that hindrance. And I pray that thou will search every one of our hearts so that thy blessing may come. Come again, Lord. Come afresh to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.